Blog Talk Radio.
Wardell Paz Jr. And oh man, I have something to say.
What's up, everybody? This is Wardell Potts Jr. from Dynasty and also Solar Records Radio in the house, guys. And so today we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. Every Friday on Solar Records Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So we're so grateful that you tuned in. Let's have a good time. You never know who may call in, but we love this music. And we love the listeners and the people that participate in Solar Records Radio. So thanks again for making us your choice today. We appreciate that, as we know you have many choices. So let's get going with the show, and God bless you, and thank you so much again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr., drummer of Dynasty.
We want you to get your hands together and we're going to start to party. Let's welcome Solar Recording Artists. Solar Recording Artists.
I'm so mad.
is there more? I have to do this because it's appropriate right now, because today it is our sister Nidra from Dynasty's birthday. So let's just say happy birthday to her. And we have Mr. Kevin Spencer from Dynasty on the line at the same time. What's up, Kev?
Hey, buddy. Everything is everything.
Everything is everything. Yeah, man. So I want to give you an opportunity to say happy birthday to your sister, Nidra, man.
Happy birthday, Nidra. Well, whatever you're doing, enjoy it.
Find her. She's having a good time somewhere, I guess. Oh,
yeah.
Man. Oh,
I want awesome. Her to be.
That's right. That's right. Hey, did you hear that mix? I mean, I played on almost every single song. Did you get that same feel?
I was listening. It was chopped up real nice. You had it going on.
Listen to this, Kevin.
I haven't heard nothing like that. I've heard a lot of different DJs do solo mixes where they chop them. But I never heard one chopped like that.
You remember this?
Oh, yeah.
That was the second song we recorded after we did And the Beat Goes On.
Yeah.
Straight up.
I recognize that.
Yeah. So how's it going, Kev? How you doing, man? You good?
I'm just taking in the scenery and the weather.
All right. Well, man, it's been a long week here. We have been in a drought over here, and finally just started raining on Wednesday, and it hasn't stopped. You know, it takes a break, and then it comes back, and I'm so grateful.
Almost rains every day. It almost rains every day in Louisiana, down here where I am.
Oh, my God.
It rained yesterday, and it looks like it could do it again today.
Wow. I tell you, well, you know, it's California is in a drought as well. So you left that state and went to Louisiana where it just all it does. So that's
right. Every other day, no less than every other day.
Yes. Listen
but
to
it's
that,
very
Kevin.
Green, you know.
Listen to that, Kevin. Oh, man. I'm so grateful. When I just came here to California, I got my platinum record from that album. And I was like, you know, I wonder why I don't have that. And I couldn't figure out why. I was like, because I didn't have it, so I need to get it. And also I saw Steve Shockley and Fred Alexander got their plaques from one of their albums. And it looked like they had, I'd never seen this, but it looked like it had two gold albums.
Oh,
which really,
it probably was a platinum, double platinum. I don't know.
Well, two golds equal up to platinum, right?
Okay.
Two golds that would do it. Yeah. So I never see that version of platinum record, two golds. That's pretty cool.
Right. Okay. That's another way to do it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen something like that, but that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, and I bought that off of a Fantastic Voice. Album.
And it probably is by now. You know how many years ago that was? It probably did gold again. So it's platinum. You
know, because
and then, more than that worldwide, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have some albums that I'm trying to get now from overseas in the UK. I am in the process of ordering them, you know, it's different records, right, that we have. We just never went after them.
We earned them.
Yeah, we earned them, so we need to pick them up and bring them home and say God for giving us the opportunity to be blessed with each other, you know, because that was a whole nother dynamic that we don't talk about so much, Kev. And that's the fact we love each other. We got to know each other, became friends. But also just the fact that our talents came together, they were brought together to create a sound. And to create the sound of Angela. So it was
chemistry.
Yes, and you know, I never knew that happened. At least I didn't. Now maybe you, I mean, Rich and that you guys put something together, right? When y'all were younger, right?
Yeah, well, we played around the hotels and whatnot. Ricky and I played since Ricky was like 14. We played together,
right?
And
so,
I was probably like 19. He was 14. I was about 19, almost 20.
Okay, all right. So the other thing that's really interesting to me too, when I first came out and I was hanging out with you know, the brothers. It just came over. Oh, we went over to their house. They lived around the corner or something. The brothers.
Who, Johnson?
The brothers.
Nope.
Johnson.
Yeah, I used to go over to. Their house. They stayed on Fairview in Baldwin. They call it View Park in California.
Oh, beautiful.
And they lived there with, they lived together with their father. Their father's name is Alex Johnson.
Okay.
And he worked for the Brinks, the Army truck.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so that's how I used to study martial arts with Lewis, and Craigor Smith was our Grandmaster Craigor Smith. Senior Grandmaster Craigor Smith was our private tutor, and he used to have us to spar against each other. And so I'd be getting the best of Lewis, and then he'd get me back. But then he started allowing me to come over to his home, and he started tutoring me on the bass, and that's how. I was sounding like I had been playing for years, and it had just been a couple of years that he was tutoring me. And at the same time, they were doing that Lookout for Number One album with Quincy Jones, the Brothers Johnson, their first name. So I used to go over there and he would mentor me. And that's how I actually boarded that I got to a point where I could play the bass, making it sound like I had been playing for years. And because I practiced with Lewis Johnson, every time I went over there, and anything he showed me, I practiced it until I got sleepy.
All right. Hey, and had no idea that he was going to be so, so big, man. I mean, his bass playing.
I could see that coming. Because I heard I'll Be Good to You before it was released. I heard that first album. He used to sit up in his room and play along with it, or show me how to play different, show me how he was playing. And then he started playing with other people, you know, Herbie Hancock and different ones, Sergio Mendez, lots of different people that he was playing with, Earl Clue. And he was showing me what he was doing. And he knew Sly Stone and George Clinton very well. And so he would tell me who was playing what and who was doing what, you know, in the studio.
Right,
so,
right.
So, you know, that was a broad experience for me.
Tell
and
me,
it helped me to get in.
Right, absolutely. You saw that coming. You tell me... an experience master is one of your favorite experiences, or just film and studio masters.
Well,
and I know that
studio masters, to me, I think John Wood made quite an impression on me, the proprietor for studio masters, because his father was the founder of Dot Records. And, you know, John had that Steinway in his office.
Right,
And he used to show me things. And he would play for us. You know, if you sit in there with John long enough, he's gonna start playing the piano, and he was quite the jazz pianist. And so I was able to expand on whatever it was we were doing a lot of times because John Wood. And so that made quite an impression on me because John Wood was spectacular. And
amen.
I got a chance to be around somebody that was a heavyweight. And so that, just from being exposed to him, other than that, in Studio Masters, you know, we had so many memories. Until Wardell, I'd be hard pressed to come up with just one. The first Dynasty album, all of them, for the most part, except for maybe Groove Control, was recorded. Not the first. The first Dynasty album with Your Piece of the Rock, I did a lot of the keyboard work because at that time I was the only keyboard player that Leon was using regularly, and then Will started to, you know, chime in. Because by that time, Second Time Around and stuff was about to be released. But that's where, you know, Studio Masters is where I got broke in, so to speak.
Okay. Well, so you have a great memory. That's awesome, man.
I learned a lot everywhere we played together. I don't care what studio we were in, we had lessons to learn, and we were learning.
Yes. Absolutely.
And we're playing together, and Pian's using different techniques. You know, he's back then at Studio Masters is where I first witnessed him doing the drums by the numbers.
Right.
And so I had never seen that. And he'd be on the ground with his headphones taped on his around his head and his natural. And he'd do the kick drum with by hand, and then he'd do the snare, and then do the hi-hat. And one by one, he'd record all the drum parts, and that was for, you know, drum machines and stuff. They had rhythm machines, but, you know, but for drums, that's how he was doing it until he met you.
Yes. Yeah.
And then that was the end of the rhythm machine as far as I can remember. And the drums by the numbers faded away too. I haven't seen anybody else do that except Leon, as a matter of fact. And it's Studio Masters.
I haven't
witnessed anybody else do drum by the numbers.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Hey Kevin, I have a request for this song. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it before I play it? This song is called Check It Out by Dynasty. You want to share a little bit before?
That song came about as we were ending a recording session. All of us Dynasty members, Pepper included, William Shelby, you, Ricky Smith, myself, anyway, and Leon, of course. We were taking a break from recording something. I wish I knew what we were working on, but it's been so many years and we did so much music. You know, I can't remember what we were, well, what it was we were working on. But on the break, Studio Masters came to have a Studio C. You know, because the main room we were always in, I imagine that was Studio A. But anyway, they were just finishing up Studio C. And William and I walked in there, and no one was in there, but there was a clavinet, and there was a drum machine that already had a beat programmed in, and with those tom-toms, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And so I started playing a synthesizer, and Will got on the other keyboard, and Leon walked in and heard us doing the groove. He said, "Oh yeah, that's when we got to do that." And so we wrote that in the studio.
There you go. Right.
We wrote
all
that
right
on a break.
There you go. I mean, so much stuff happens, spontaneously in the studio with us, and it was a moment of simultaneous creativity that was just coming out of us constantly. And when we come back, we're gonna take a small music break. But when we come back, I want to share, because I've been getting messages and stuff from listeners and stuff. So I want to share a question with you. I already answered it, but I want your response, Kevin. So
what do you mean to say?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So listen, guys, we're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to Check It Out by Dynasty, and we'll be right back with Kevin Spencer and Wardell Potts Jr. on Solar Records Radio. Check it out. Man, that's funky.
Yeah, it is.
Funky, yeah, good.
You know, Wardell, something you should probably didn't know about, check it out, is that, you know, we mixed it at Liberty. And Leon had Will Shelby not his order to Liberty. And and we were waiting for him to come in to do the final mix. And while we were there, and William and I were sitting at the control board, somebody came into the studio and we turned around and there was Reverend Jesse Jackson. And he was digging, check it out. Now, that was the first person a celebrated individual. And so he came in and he stayed a while and he was grooving off, check it out. The next time, Will and I there again, and it was just in a short span of time. We weren't finished yet. I turned around and Stanley Clark standing in the doorway. And he said he called, check it out, Afrocentric. He said, uh-huh. Oh, yeah, brother, y'all got that Afrocentric beat. And he was digging it. Like, if he would have had his bass, he would have started making something up to it.
That's my homeboy you talking about right there.
Ooh, I know, boy. It is. Philadelphia guys.
That's right. Well, listen, let me get to this question real quick for you, Kevin. This is something I want you to think about. I mean, this is something you may not have to think about. But it said, here it is. What inspired you, your interest in poetry when you were younger, and what sort of poetry was it?
It was, I used to listen to The Last Poets, you know, and they'd have the congos and bongos and they'd be doing that format. They were doing rap before rappers started doing it to tracks. And I started doing poetry out of the admiration for the way that they, expressed themselves. And then I just kept it up. And then at high school, a lot of my classmates, they started reciting some of the poetry that I'd write it down, and they were learning it, and they were going around the school reciting it.
Wow.
I guess at that time, yeah, we'll say that was a precursor to what was going to come years later as far as rapping is poetry.
Hold on, wait. So, what inspired you to even start writing, period?
Oh, I always wrote. When I was in elementary school, I'd make up stories.
Oh.
You know, I would, that was how I entertained myself a lot of times, you know, because I was raised an only child, and, you know, if I'm at home doing homework, I always, you know, I had to do something with myself besides get in trouble.
Okay.
So they kept me busy. And
tell us
something. And I loved,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
I liked it, but that didn't mean that other people would.
Okay. Absolutely.
You know, something you did, that you do. You don't know if other people like it the way you like doing it.
Right. Well, I know that for sure as a drummer, growing up as a young drummer and playing jazz, and all the kids in my neighborhood, they couldn't stand it. They were like, why are you not playing R&B? What's wrong? They couldn't understand jazz.
You've been playing the same beat over and over again.
Yeah, they exactly. So they didn't get that. Okay, let me go. I have another question for you. In regards to music, tell us something about you that no one knows in regards to music.
I used to make up songs on the piano when I was like 5, 6 years old. I would just, you know, make up something and just remember it and keep playing it over and over. And I didn't know that was a form of songwriting. I just was in it, once again, entertaining myself because I was by myself. And okay. I was doing that early on. And my mother, you know, my mother played piano. Her, matter of fact, her first piano teacher was Ricky Smith's mom. Taught my mother how to play piano. Freeze's mother.
Gwendolyn Smith. Yes.
That's right. You know, and they've been knowing each other since they were like 17 and 19 years old.
Wow. Okay.
And then Ricky and I inherited that friendship.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to answer that question too. That question they said is for me as well. So something, tell us something about in regards to music that we don't know anything about. Man, I tell you that I'm thinking about it as I'm going to say this because where I want to go is because I'm very open and I usually share as much as I can. Doing the show so much, but this one is a little different. Something that no one knows is that I
somebody knows. I'll tell you about that because if it's your parents and
no,
you
I don't think my parents don't know either. They never knew.
Then you take your time, brother.
So this
and come up with it.
So for me. I have a very strong sense of wanting to make sure that I close the deal when it comes down to playing drums. And so I study so hard before I have to audition or play because I refuse to fail because I don't think I can handle it. I don't think I would feel like a failure. So I'm an extremist when it comes down to preparing myself for a task because I love it when people go, man, you got to that was easy for you, huh? I love it when they say that and I go and I'm back in my head, I go, no, that was never easy, but it may come off like it's easy because I put that time in to making sure I got it. So those are insecurities and anxieties come from that, but I take that and make it into something beautiful. I don't let it destroy me. I let it make me. So
you came up with it. You came up with them because those of us who played with you never thought that that's how you felt. Not the way you just described it.
Okay.
We just knew you were doing it.
I was working hard, man, working hard, trying to get it done. And just I always like to please people, you know, so I do my best to try to please the people that I'm around and make them, you know, because I know that if I'm doing my part, it's just going to make their part easier. And it'll make all of us sound good. And so it does frustrate me sometimes when people don't practice and learn the songs. And then we go and to record or perform it, and they don't know it. It's like, but you had it. Why isn't your heart in it? Why isn't your heart in it? You know, because you're not just letting yourself down, but you're letting the whole team down. See, you have to take that responsibility.
Come on down the process if you got to come up with
it. Mm-hmm.
You know, the person is still making up what they're going to do. They don't have that locked in.
Yep,
I was like that with and the beat goes on. Wardell, you guys had practiced it up and do a few times, but I never played on it. I just would listen to it. I would listen to you guys, and then I guess I guess Leon felt like I was going to come up with something. I don't know. I didn't have a part. When we went to Norman Whitfield's and recorded And the Bee Goes On, I didn't have an established part. And I had to keep listening to what you guys were doing and come up with the clapping part. And for me, well, that didn't disrupt you guys because you were warming up with Steve Shackley and him playing it over and over. So all I did was take that time to create something that complemented what you guys were doing.
And that's beautiful. And that's beautiful to be able to just add color to the painting. You know,
right? All I had to do was find my place.
That's beautiful.
I heard that. After I heard the Pepper's guitar from Some Things Never Change. That was a good day. That was a good evening, I should say.
Do you want to share some of your memories working Steve Hodge?
Steve Hodge, you know, Steve Hodge, to me, started with us. And then I was shocked to see Steve Hodge had become Jimmy Jam and Terry's main engineer. Because he was always in there with us. And he did the first Dynasty, not the first one. I'll say the second one. Steve Hodge was mostly our engineer for Adventures in the Land of Music. As a matter of fact, I'm sure Steve Hodge was the engineer on that song and also on Take Another Look at Love and stuff like that. And he used to always make jokes about when we were doing our parts. Like, if he thought something was funny, he would point it out. And then when the tape stopped, he would mimic it. But Steve Hodge, I never suspected he would end up leaving from working with us so much. And I don't even remember who it was that replaced him. Maybe Bob Brown, perhaps. But that Steve, the next thing I knew, I looked on some stuff that Jimmy Jam and Terry were doing, and they lifted him from Dynasty and Leah.
Oh, wow. All right.
Steve Hodge spent so much time working with us until... Wardell, I remember one time he was at the Larrabee studio, and he was supposed to be doing the mix, and we got there. When we got there, Steve Hodge was taking naps on the bench, waiting for us to arrive. And I told Will, I said, Will said, Steve Hodge is in here taking naps. Because we're not getting here on time. And so he was, Will said, he's getting paid for sleeping. But, you know, Steve Hodge worked with so on, but his ears were incredible. And Steve had been with us for so long. And he was just as much a part of creating that sound that we did. Because he knew what to do with the parts that we played and how to bring them in and out, him and Leon. When they used to mute things and play groups of stuff together to see how that felt. And Leon was one of the best that I knew. I'm sure the other producers were doing the same thing, but it's the way that Leon would. Take this out, take that, and just leave in the bass, the drums, and, you know, maybe a guitar part or something. And let it ride like that. And when it felt good, he would work it back into the track.
All right.
And that's what I remember. Steve Hodge was there for all of that.
Yes, he was. He was, and you know, he's good. You know, it sounds like we're talking about him in the past. I think.
He's really. I mean, you don't get worse if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't think that people go backwards.
No. I'm just saying. It's almost like we're talking about him like he's not anymore.
Definitely. After he did a Janet Jackson, he did all that stuff.
Yes. Okay.
Whether people realize it or not.
I'm gonna spell this name to you. B-L-A-U-E.
Say the name.
B-L-A-Q-U-E.
Oh, Black.
Can you talk about Black?
I never had the chance to meet them. But what I do know is that when they did Bring It All to Me, that Left Eye's brother was one of the producers on that song. And it was also featured in the movie Bring It On. And I always wanted to meet them, Wardell. But that song did really well. I mean, you know, I think I'm supposed to get it. I have to get me a gold record for that myself.
Wow.
I don't have a lot of the records that we did. And for whatever reason, I wasn't concerned with that for some reason, Warden.
All right.
But it definitely something that, you know, it represents a lot of your history, your music history, and the projects that you worked on that went down in history and are still in the history, a part of it too. Because those awards, there was a time when you couldn't get some of the awards. I think now you have a better chance, maybe. I don't know. I know you're still picking up some.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yep.
been years. And
yeah.
they're still putting those awards together. I got to get in there and give me at least four or five of them.
Yes.
Well, the beginning's
yes.
good.
Yes. So yesterday I got this message and I want to read it to you. As a matter of fact, about it on Don Fleming's show as well, because question was
yeah.
it was an interesting question. So let me make sure I stay into this microphone. It says, Mr. Wardell, a friend of mine asked me a question. I cannot answer. He asked me if Solar Records promoted Shalimar more than Dynasty, or was it because Jody and Jeffrey Daniels' Soul Train popularity, because the music to us was the same, and for Shalimar's to take off more than Dynasty's is a concern. So I did answer that. And do you want to hear my answer? To my answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can both answer. You can answer first.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I said already. And he may be listening. So Dynasty really was the hit making machine for Solar. And
right.
so Dynasty, it was not in Solar's best interest to push Dynasty out there like Dick was doing with Shalimar and the Whispers and all the other groups. It was in his best interest to keep us. We were the workhorse for Solar.
That's right.
We were pretty much the foundation. So we were in the load, not knowing it to a degree, because we were just excited. It was an exciting moment for me, I know, the opportunity to be constantly in the studio and record. That recording in the studio, to me, you were on a different level, because I went out to audition for Kevin's group for Dynasty to be the drummer and live show. I had no idea that we were going to start off recording. Going in the studio and recording. It was like, whoa, this is big. This is great. And then hearing all these records come on the radio and on radio for a moment, but they lived on the radio for years straight. Yes. And it was like, so being in the studio was, to me, the royalty of being a part of Solar. And I thought it was the best part. But years later, I look back at it and I go, man, I was looking at some Dynasty's live stuff to continue to be out there like so many of the other groups. But, you know this terrible saying, you can't have your cake and eat it too. That is really true, but it's really sad, because why have a cake if you can't eat it? But anyway,
But you might make a great cake. Everybody else was eating it.
Everybody else was eating it. You couldn't even get to it, right? So that's right. What it was. We couldn't even get to being on the road because, see, people were eating up the cake.
They needed us to be at home.
We could not come
because
out of
when
the,
it, because
of the kitchen.
This fact is by Leon being Dick's in-house producer, and he had already, he was doing Shalimar and the Whispers and stuff, and we were his group. We were Leon's group. So the reason how come when they say the groups musically sounded similar, that's because Leon was using his own group to record Shalimar and the Whispers songs, and he was their producer. And so why, what was he supposed to do, go and get a whole different set of musicians to record every time he changed his jobs to another group? No. We were already together, and we already knew each other, and we sounded great together. So all Leon was doing was using the same musician to create and to record Shalimar and the Whispers and Dynasty stuff. Now, whether or not they were going to be hit songs for which groups, Dynasty, always we were searching for what would fit us and be able to be it. But we weren't free to go out on the road, because the one time when we left for 6 months and we did the Sora
Galaxy Stars. Yes.
That's the only time I can remember that a producer that had done the workload that Leon did and had given that kind of fuel to a record company and a tour was out on the road performing with his group. You know, that's never happened before, Wardy, I don't believe. I don't think so. If it has, I'm just not aware of it.
Yeah,
but
well,
Leon
was
out there for 6 months, too.
Yeah,
now,
we were. Well,
I don't remember
studios on the road.
I have a question for you. Do you remember us writing anything while we were on that first tour that long? I don't remember us writing any new music.
Okay, I'll tell you what song. The Hills. Do you remember that? Do you remember
what?
Do you remember that song,
Ooh.
The Tilt?
Oh, I don't remember it because we probably didn't finish. I don't remember singing on anything like that. I don't even remember I can't ask you that. I was going to say, how did the music go, like you'd be able to hum it? I don't remember.
You want to hear it? This is it.
Listen.
okay.
Now,
I remember that. I remember that music for you. Now, I didn't play on it.
Oh, okay. We did. While we were,
who is that? What group is that?
Seventh Wonder.
Oh, I remember
it was
them.
The promoter's band. So, the promoter.
Seventh Wonder, wasn't that Clarence Avon?
That was of his name, but
I'm saying, was that his label? Because that's who Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis started working for, Clarence Avon.
No, this was man, I just get his name and it flies
I can
out.
Remember.
I'll tell you.
Was it W.G. Garrison or anything
yes,
like that?
Yes, W.G.
Okay.
It was he was
from Louisiana.
Yes. That's
okay.
That's him.
All right.
That was his
Now,
group.
A little bit, I'm starting to remember, but
yes.
I didn't have a hand in that.
Oh, okay. I thought you were
You know what I'm saying? I never participated in that. Okay,
yeah, well,
but you answered my question.
Yeah,
because that was done while we were what on the road. You guys were on the road.
Yeah,
okay.
We did that in Atlanta. We recorded Georgia.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. See there?
Yeah. Yeah. Particular tracks from back in the day. This is from the list.
You know some more stuff, don't you?
No, the. This is now, right? Okay, listen.
You got secrets, buddy.
Okay, so this is from the listeners. A particular track from back in the day where you thought, man, I wish I played on that one.
I remember.
I'm not sure
if it's
a solar track or if it's just any artist. If you, listener, if you could respond to that, are you talking about a solar, or are you talking about just any song from back in the
day? Only solar, only because, you know, the last tour that I remember us participating in where we were gone for at least 3 to 4 months was when we were opening up for... you know what I'm trying to think of, Stephanie Mills and Terry Pendergrass, and then we were jumping tours. We were jumping over to Frankie Beverly and Maze, Larry Graham. You know, if you remember, we were jumping tours.
Yeah, I remember.
Back and forth between Stephanie Mills and Teddy Pendergrass, and then we jump back on and go with Graham, Cameo, Frankie Beverly. You know, it was a very active, exciting time for us.
Yeah.
And after that, we never got a chance to go out and stay like that again because Dick needed us to fuel the record company.
Absolutely. We were the record company. So
yeah, we couldn't be gone, like you mentioned. We could not be gone or on tour. And that was one thing that I believe really affected us and how much success we could have, because your records are your calling card. Like if you got a record that is projected to be a hit, you need to show up and play it live for the people. And and the reason that I think I've Just Begun did as well as it did, we were available from those two tours I just mentioned to represent the group live doing I've Just Begun, because everybody knew I've Just Begun everywhere that I can remember we played. As soon as we started out, we hit those few notes, did it. The people would just roar and stand up and start partying. And
I
so
know.
Look, if you're not out there, if you and I weren't out there doing that, I've just begun. I don't think it would be as well known as it became. And so the only thing that happened to us was we weren't available for tours. We did some tours, and every time we did tours, we benefited the most for the fact that by the time we came off of a tour, Wardell, and we went into the studio, we were killing it.
That was because we experienced it came.
Saying every night playing
on the road.
We played from Wednesday night to sometimes Sunday night. Sunday night was usually a day off. Monday was a day off. Or Tuesday would be, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday we were definitely on stage.
Yeah,
So listen, we were playing all but three nights a week for 6 months. We were as tight as golf ball rubber. You know, we were working almost every night, Wardell. So that means everybody's playing, and we're playing live, and we're sounding just like the records. And so we're getting better and better, but without realizing it, you know, because we're just doing our jobs and having fun doing it. By the time that those tours were over, and we had to start, you know, Leon had to start putting out the stuff and you know, record production. And he's using us. Nobody was tighter than we were.
Let me go back to the question, Kevin. Do you think NB? No. That's another question. Dang, questions are coming in. Any particular track? Kevin, is there any particular track out there that you thought that? I played on that track. It doesn't matter if it's a Solar track or anything that you just really love. Now I'm gonna answer first. I'm gonna answer because my answer is yes. And that song was SOS Band by SOS Band, "Baby We Can Do It." That's one of my favorite songs. I just love that song.
I know Leon worked with Sagitti on that. I know he was working with G, the producer for SOS Band, the head producer.
Because I
walked in the studio masters, and there was Sagitti sitting at the controls and in studio masters with Leon. So we spent a little bit of time with SOS Band when they first came out. Yeah. I mean, there were people that were around us. And we saw them take off. Now, I always felt, Wardell, that everything, can you imagine if the songs that became number one hits for the groups that we recorded their music, if we had done them, can you imagine what kind of group we would have been viewed as? I'm saying, if we served a purpose that no one else was even set up to do. So we had a purpose at Solar that was unlike any of the other groups. A little bit it happened with Midnight Star because they did do some whisper thing, and then The Deal is the other group. Now if you look at them, The Deal wanted to be a group. Up-and-coming star group, just like Midnight Star. But two members from The Deal ended up joining together as super producers, and The Deal was on hold. You know what I'm saying? They had a hit two occasions and stuff like that. I'm saying, but look, for the most part, I don't remember The Deal being pushed out there as a group, you know, as an act, yes, but not as a recording group.
All right.
And look what happened.
All right.
L.A. and Pace had to come back, and I remember they had a television special where L.A. and Babyface were almost a front, and L.A. played the drums. And they, I think they did two occasions on some award show. So I'll say the deal went through something that was even a little tougher than what we experienced with YL. And the reason I say that is they were a functioning group already. And then when L.A. and Pace started doing everybody else, the rest of the group got neglected.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it looked like to me.
Oh, yeah. That's
I might
exactly
be wrong.
No, nope,
but
that's
the rest
exactly
of the group got neglected. I was wondering,
yep,
did L.A. and Pace kind of take care of them a little bit since they were doing so well together, the two of them? Because they essentially left. It seemed like we could safely say they left the deal to become huge producers, and the deal was not, they weren't active.
Okay. All right. What is your favorite lyric of all time from any song?
Oh, they all have different personalities, and they all give different accounts of that. You know, it's the personality of the song. I'd have to tell you a song that I like more than any other song. I mean, when we think about Emergency, is different from Keep on Loving Me. Just to give an example. Okay, I did the music on Emergency and the lyrics, and then you did the music on Keep on Loving Me, and I was able to get in on the lyrics and some of the melodies. I vibe off of Keep on Loving Me today, still. You know what I'm saying, more than, say, like Emergency is a smoking track when you listen to it. If you played it, it's doing a lot. There's a lot of orchestration. I think Gene Dozier did that, the you know, the orchestration. But Emergency is a song that sounds big from jump. You know, you know what I'm saying? You hear all the string. Right. It comes in big. And then it's the lyrics of it drops into the groove.
Okay.
I can hear everybody's hands burning from those hand claps in the bathroom.
Okay,
especially
in
Emergency, you can tell we were hurting Wardell. You hear how hard those hand claps are on Emergency. That hurts.
But we have to make sure people know we weren't in the bathroom, literally. We had both bathroom doors open, the men's bathroom
sometimes,
and the ladies'
we had
bathroom. And we were in the middle
of
the hallway.
Sometimes we were in the hallway, but sometimes Leon had me in the men's bathroom with whoever else. And the doors would be open and the mics were set up. And he had a mic. He had the mic set up. And it was the echo is what he was looking for.
Yeah, I know.
He wanted that thing,
that snap. And the funny thing is when I listened back to the other artists prior to the Solar stuff, and I listened to, they did have hand claps too, but they were so tiny compared to ours.
And so that's how he made them.
Yes.
And Solar hand claps were some of the best hand claps I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. They were tight. It was tight.
Oh, you know why? Because if anybody flammed, you know what that meant? Punch it in after this. You know, wherever the mess up was, he would punch us back in. We would have to stop. Then we'll stop the tape and then cue in
where we were going to pick it up from, and then we had to try our best not to mess up again. Or we'd be having burning hands for the rest of the evening. And so that was fun. That was a fun experience. That was another experience that doesn't get talked about because it seems so minor, but it was so major. I mean, it was...
I remember people coming down the studio, Master. They just wanted to listen to or witness while we were recording something. And then I would pick out certain ones, and he said, come on, we'll fix it, do the hand claps, y'all. He was recruiting hand clappers.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was amazing. It was an amazing time.
People were getting on the records. Their hands were on the records during hand claps. I remember he got a hold of quite a few people like that.
Okay, yeah, this is a crazy question for you, Kevin. Was the lyrics Emergency easier to write than People Are Loving Me?
Yes. The question
was
what? What was the question?
I believe it's lyrics because you wrote the lyrics to Keep On Loving Me and you wrote the lyrics to Emergency. So was one easier than the other one to write, or did they both have the same
Emergency was done because, you know, I had just met Kevin's mother, Denise, and she was fastly becoming my girlfriend. So Leon called a session one evening, and I was supposed to go visit her, and I had to cancel. And so she said, oh, yeah, Kevin, you go do your music. I'm sure somebody will be glad to come over and keep me company. Well, I didn't like the sound of that. So when we did when we were recording on Emergency, I got finished with my part that night early as I could. Leon allowed, could I go first?
Went
first, and I laid my part. And so then I went and asked me, and I said, hey, Lee, are you finished with me yet? Can I, you know, I used to say, I'm about to make that move, you guys. And that was just me announcing, I'm ready to go. I'm going to leave.
Chasing
and so he said, so he thought about it for a second. He said, yeah, Kev, you can split. So then I got in the car and I drove over to Denise's where she was living.
Okay. All right.
All I'm saying is that's how Mercy got written, because I thought somebody was over there trying to beat my time.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the record set.
Well, yeah. Amen. Thank you, Denise, for helping with the lyrics.
That was my motivation. That was my motivation for those lyrics.
Okay. And so what was your motivation for this lyric? Did it have anything to do with Denise?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. And I had written up a story, Wardy, to say, you know, Leon gave me that track that you and William Zimmerman had done that track, and Leon gave me the tape and told me, he said, yeah, Dick wants this to be the single. And so I had the track for like 3 days, but I didn't touch it. I didn't listen to it. I didn't trip. You know what I'm saying? I was grooving to it, just played in the tape, you know, the tape deck. But I wasn't working on it. And so then 3 days later, Leon calls me on the phone that evening. He says, yeah, Kevin, did you finish it yet? And he said, did you finish Keep On Loving Me yet? And I didn't have any lyrics or no nothing. And I lied to him, boy. I said, yeah, I had a chance to work on it, and
I'm almost finished. He said, well, how much of it did you get? How far did you get? And I said, 3/4. He said, well, how long will it take you to finish that last fourth of it? And I said, probably 30 minutes. He said, good, because I'm a studio master. And the Whispers are down here right now with me. And they want to hear it. So, you know, you got to come and... You got to come to the Dummy D. And so he said, I'll call you back in 30 minutes, you know, because I said I thought it would take me 30 minutes. And so I wrote the whole song in 30 minutes.
Wow. This is funny because at the time that this song was being written, lyrically, Leon and I were roommates. So I had given Leon the tape. I had no idea that all this other stuff was happening.
Oh, really?
Boy,
okay.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I had no idea.
That's how it happened.
And I went down that night,
Wardell. You know the rest of the story. I won't put you through that. But that's what happened.
What's the rest of the story? What's the rest of it? Oh, you went and sang it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. And the Whispers flipped over.
But listen. When I heard the song, when I heard the vocals on it, I almost jumped out of my seat. I was so excited. But you know,
which vocal did you hear? Did you hear the version with me doing the Dummy Lead?
No.
You didn't? I sang the Dummy Lead just like how Scotty ended up singing. He copied from me.
I know. So this is the thing, and I got to say, it's the strangest thing that because when I heard it, it was already, the vocals were done. They were ready to go mix it. And I almost, I almost fell out the chair. But the strangest thing, because it was almost like cheating on myself. Like, listen. I want you to listen to this. Because you may have the same thing in the back of your head, but you never thought about it. But I never, ever thought when we were doing songs that we knew were hit songs that we could hear. This is a great song. And they were for somebody else other than Dynasty.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that.
I never thought, I wish Dynasty was doing this instead of
because actually we were doing it.
I was
thinking about Scotty, but I was doing Kevin Spencer when I didn't keep on loving it. We could have easily done, put another name on it and said Dynasty.
Okay, so I got to tell people this. Now, listen, he is my witness, and he can say what he thinks about this same exact thing because we were together on it. So people keep asking, the guy was asking, shout something, like, this is a Dynasty stuff. Ultimately, I've said this a few times on the show, but ultimately, what I said, Kevin, is that I want you guys to understand that Dynasty and Shalimar is really the same group. They just believe it.
Yeah, because we had to do the vocals and the music.
Right.
And then Shalimar would come and learn it.
Yeah, they come and sit. So they just put their vocals on Dynasty stuff. And then, and then it got put out in the Shalimar. And so when we came out, people were like, he's Philly Shalimar. Hello?
Right. Because to me, Make That Move would have been a Dynasty song until they gave it to Shalimar. That's when it became a Shalimar song. Because we went up. You, Ricky Smith, William Shelby, Ricky Silvers played the guitar. But I'm just saying, that was just the Dynasty unit with Leon up at the Silver's house. And we came up with Make That Move. And Make That Move was something that I used to always say, you know, to us, whenever I was ready to go, Wardell, I would say,
hey, y'all, AY, I'm about to make that move. You might remember I used to say, hey, y'all, I'm about to make that move. And then I said, what'd you say here? I said, I'm about to make that move. He said, that would be a hip concept for a song. The next thing we knew, Shalamar was doing. You know, but that was us. That was us, unquestionably. And that came from even stuff that we said to one another. Yeah. And Leon turned it into a song. And the rest is history.
So anyway, we got to take a break.
It's time for me to eat my lunch, Whitey. You want to swing it the rest of
go do
okay.
your thing. I would say thank
I'm
you
glad
so
that
much.
I'm always glad to come on and, you know, contribute with you because we're the only two that know and remember stuff the way we do enough to talk about it. Well, we're not the only ones. Ricky, too. Ricky Freeze remembers quite a bit.
Yes.
I'm saying, you know, but mostly it comes from us. It comes from you,
right.
And then I chime in when you can get me. Okay, Whitey.
Well, listen, I just want to say thank you, Kevin. Love you very much and appreciate
love
you,
you too,
very
brother.
Much. And I'll be in touch with you.
Okay.
By the way,
everybody.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying goodbye to our friends.
Okay.
Out there in radio land.
All right. I want to also tell you, Kevin, that Nydra just our ex group with Dynasty, so she's all good. I hadn't talked to her in a few days.
Oh, okay,
like,
she responded.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
she responded.
I'll see what's happening with it. I'll check in with
her. Thank you. Dad.
Okay,
God bless. All right, love you. Your mom kissed
you too.
All right.
She heard you. She's been listening to the show.
Oh, hi, mom.
She said she's eavesdropping. She said, hello, I'm eavesdropping.
Yeah. Hello, Mama. All right, Mom. Love you. Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye. Yeah. All right, guys. So, anyway, that was great. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, we play the music all the time, right? And I haven't hear me because I had to switch. But we played the music. This was more about information in regards to the music. I thank Kevin for sharing. That's really, really healthy. It's really good because we know like the deep, you know, I want to know a lot about a lot of that. What happened to me is when we're talking about this stuff, I just do things, and that blesses me. And who do we have? Kevin, is that you? Okay.
I'm just listening.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, all right. So anyway, so the I when I hear the of you know the music and stuff and my history, the history that we had together and Kevin said certain things. That was about Denise. I had no idea. So it's just beautiful to learn the history along with you guys simultaneously. We're together. So we hear the music all the time, but we getting information directly from the writers of the song that releases us, right? So anyway, thank you so much. And I'm cutting out. Over in the UK, they said I'm cutting out. So this song that Kevin and I wrote, and we'll be back.
Yeah.
By Shalimar. And guess who I have on the line? Is that Mr. Don Fleming? Are you there, brother?
It is I, my brother. What's happening?
Hey, that's my little big brother right there. How's everything?
Little big brother.
Hey, how's it going?
You doing good, man. I am good. I hate I missed the interview with Kevin, man. I love when you guys talk and just kind of, you know, just expound on those memories for all the listeners to hear, man. I get excited when you guys talk because you guys get in that mode, man, that I love. I don't even jump in when I'm in, you know, up in the conversation. So,
yeah, it's all good, man. And it was fun, but, you know, it's really important that, you know, you do what you have to do. And sometimes we got family stuff comes, and, you know, we got to, hey, take care of that family, because family take care of us and allows us to do what we do. So I'm glad you did the family thing. But here you are now, and so we appreciate you coming on to say goodnight to everyone.
Yeah. Appreciate it. And, you know, just for all the listeners, yeah, our anniversary is – my wife and I's anniversary is Sunday. So we kind of just kind of enjoying each other and just kind of spending time, you know, with no interruptions, you know, so to say, you know.
Yeah, congratulations, by the way. Congratulations.
Yeah, man. It'll be, what, 18 years?
Wow. That's awesome, man. That's way to do it, brother. Way to do it.
I know. Yeah. I know. We joke because one of the things is, you know, she's a flirt, I'm a flirt, you know, and you know, it's just one of those things that you know, it kind of spices it, you know, in a weird way. So, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know what you come home to. So, and you have, you learn to appreciate it more.
And you got to keep it fresh, man. You got to keep it fresh, right? So,
most definitely.
Much love to you and your beautiful wife, man. And thanks for... You know, I got your song playing in the background. I know you like that song. No, it's the other one. Yeah, this is your song right here. Don loves this song. I always hear him playing it. And he likes that song a lot.
You know I love that. Curious.
That's right. There you go. That's right. So this goes out to you and your lovely wife, and thank you. I want to thank all the listeners also for tuning in today and blessing us. We appreciate all of you guys. Thanks, Greg, for helping me out and making sure that we, you know, we have our audio and stuff is good. Much love to you. Thanks for the flyer as well and all the those other flyers you make. Love it. All right. Well, God bless all of you guys. Have a beautiful and wonderful Solar weekend. And we look forward to tomorrow. Solar wants to dance. So tune in 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. It's the weekend already. Wow.
Yes, already. Crazy. Already.
It's the weekend. Yeah. So you guys have a wonderful and safe weekend. And thanks again for tuning in and hanging out with us here, Solar Records Radio. And don't forget, I put up a video. I want you to check out the video. It's going to tell you a little bit about our new season and stuff that we have coming up. So check it out, okay? You'll see it on my page, or it's in the Solar page, and it's in the Solar Records Radio page as well. And so check that video out. Much love to all of you guys. God bless, and have a beautiful evening. Take care. Later, Don.
Later, guys. See you later.
All right. Yeah, see you later. I wanna know that you're